Hello and welcome. I'm Matt, and by the grace of the Nashville Public Library, I'm here to talk about the creative process and the joy of appreciating the creations of others. Thankfully, I'm not going to do it alone. Joining me today are the co-owners of Nashville's newest independent bookstore, nestled in the heart of East Nashville. It's Jordan and Deezy of Novelette Booksellers. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. This is actually my first podcast, so I'm feeling very nervous. No one really cares about my opinions that much, so this is big for me.
Please don't get us canceled.
Okay, I'll try really hard.
So I imagine for anyone listening, maybe one of the first thoughts they have is that this is a library podcast. Mm. I have invited the owners of a bookstore. Are we not in constant rivalry and competition with
one another? We are enemies. Absolutely.
No, BFFs, if anything.
Yeah, that was my thought as well, is that, like, I always think of having worked in bookstores and now working in a library, it's definitely just different parts of the book ecosystem, right? Do y'all have any specific thoughts or experience with that being the case, or just good vibes?
Well, yeah, definitely good vibes only. I mean, it is definitely part of the same ecosystem. There is a privilege to being able to buy books, so it's very lucky that we have spaces like the Nashville Public Library or any public library that can offer reading as something to do, and way more than just reading, turns out, to, you know, children and adults alike in the city. So we're big fans of the library, and we will always be big fans of the library.
Yeah.
Well, we're big fans of you.
Oh my Thank you.
I'm speaking on behalf of as many librarians as I choose to at the moment.
Thank you.
But no, I know from personal experience that, like, there are a lot of instances where I will not necessarily take a risk on a new book, but if I read it from the library and turns out, oh no, this is absolutely for me, then I want to own it. So there are those inroads that depend on the nature of the book.
Yeah, and you can't own every single book. Like,
as much as we would like to.
Yeah, I would financially love to,
stop me.
Space-wise, trying a new book, also other forms of media. Mm-hmm. Like, there's audiobooks you can get here, movies you can get here. I know people still watch DVDs, even though it's whatever.
That's crazy. You do?
I do.
We watch DVDs, too, at my house. Yeah.
Like, especially, like, now working at the library and being like, do I want to spend money going to a movie theater where I will probably experience sensory overload, or just wait 3 months and get in the wait list for Barbie?
Yeah.
There's also just, like, I don't know, I can really, like, dilly-dally with stuff, so it's, like, nice to have a deadline. Mm. Sometimes, like, if I'm getting a book that's been, like, on circulation at the library for a long time and they're like, you waited 8 weeks for this, you better read it in 2 weeks. And if I buy a book, I don't feel that pressure at all. It can sit for years. Exactly.
It becomes part of the wallpaper.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And so sometimes I'm like, I just don't want to have to renew this. Let's do this. I waited so long. I can handle this. But trying new books, trying new authors, going back to a classic that you didn't like the first time, maybe you like it this time.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's just nice to go somewhere where you can, like, explore your interest and not be worried about how much money you're spending.
Yeah. No, it has been noted many times by the internet. The library is one of the few places you can just exist without spending money, which is nice.
Yeah.
But while all of the great press for the library is appreciated, we're here to talk about Novelette.
What do you want to know?
Well, so the conceit of this podcast is that it's about creativity, whether that is, you know, creating or appreciating the creativity of others. And a bookstore is honestly kind of both, because it's a place that's made out of that appreciation for the works of other people.
Definitely. I will just, like, jump in and speak for myself that, like, traditionally I don't consider myself a very creative person. Mm. I appreciate art. I read. I like that, you know, I'm, like, culturally interested in stuff. But I have never been someone who is, like, I have to create something today or I will explode. So for me, this has been a way for me to kind of figure out my creativity through, like, designing the shop, thinking about, like, the energy in the shop, thinking about our branding. Like, I could kind of envision that. But I'm not someone who makes music. I'm, like, the only person who moved to Nashville to not play music. Right. I'm like, what am I doing here?
I moved here to go to Belmont and get an English degree.
Exactly.
Across the room, fist bumps.
Yeah. So for me, it's, you know, it's like a bookstore. In my opinion, only personally speaking for myself, it's an area for me to be a critic. That's how I experience art. And for me, that's what it's been. But it's definitely, you know, housing all our heroes, the people who do go make stuff. But DZ's got a lot more creative energy than I do.
I have no energy whatsoever.
Lies. There is no energy here.
Yeah, just you guys talking about why you moved to Nashville, and I'm like, well, I followed my drummer here, so lock me up. Yeah, I don't know. It is interesting because while it isn't necessarily thought of as like a creative job, I mean, we do really have to think about creativity in ways to make our shop stand out, make it welcoming, set the tone that we really want for the shop, which, as you know, since you've been there, is just like reading is fun. Everyone's welcome. Let's spill some tea. Let's chit-chat. But yeah, it is. I like what you said about like housing our heroes. That's lovely. Oh, yeah. But yeah, it is really nice because we get to appreciate creativity so much. And I mean, books are amazing.
Yeah, and I'm definitely very curious about like the creation of the space and your curation method. Mm. But like to sort of set up all of that, why? Like where did Novelette come from?
A place of sheer desperation to quit the rat race.
I mean, kind of
follow our dreams,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like basically I think everyone who loves books growing up is like, I want to open a bookstore someday. Like that's like this very idealized job.
Yeah,
I say like that and like flower stores.
Right. Oh
like
my God, yeah.
These very too. Like cutesy. Like it would be so nice. What a dream.
What a peaceful life.
Yeah, exactly. So like during the pandemic, I was getting ready to take the GRE to apply to grad school, and I was just like, I just can't picture myself having like a typical quote unquote job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even what I was going for was, like, to be a therapist. And, like, just during the pandemic, I was like, I cannot take on any more people's stuff. What would I really want to do if I wasn't afraid? And really, I mean, people ask that question all the time. Like, what would you do if you were a kid? What did you want to be? And I'm like, I don't know, a cat? Like, I didn't really want to be anything, you know?
Yeah.
So this was kind of like one of those moments of, like, yeah, what could we do? What is possible? And I knew I didn't want to do it alone, and I needed to do it with a friend who I trusted. And so DZ, that's where DZ comes in. But really—
And now you're trapped.
Yeah, really it was just, like, probably being immature, like Peter Pan syndrome, and being like, I don't want to grow up. I just want to have fun.
Is that immature, though?
I don't know if it's immature.
To be real with yourself and follow your dreams? My therapist would say it's quite courageous.
I mean, very true. But yeah, it's just like, could we do this? And so we did it very, 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 very small steps. I guess that's
well, we had 2 years of COVID standing in our way of opening the store when Jordan first brought up the idea of opening a bookstore. So we were forced into thinking about what we wanted and dreaming, which I think ended up being kind of a blessing.
Yeah,
and it was just kind of like, okay, like, we'll just try the first step. We'll try making a business plan. Let's see if we follow through. We did. And then we're like, okay, well, we'll look at places. We'll see if someone's interested in giving us a spot. And so they did. And then it was just kind of like really fortunate to be like that, where it was just like, we'll just see what happens. We'll go. And then we signed a lease and we didn't have any money, which is probably the worst financial advice I could ever give anyone. Do not sign a lease without having money. But it did work out for us. We were just like, great, we'll get this business loan. We'll just write a business plan and we'll do it. And we did it and it happened. And so we were just like, okay, we're just going to keep going forward until we can't.
Yeah.
And so then we're still open. We've still paid our bills.
Believe it or not.
A lot of them have been late.
Haters will say we don't.
But they have. But really it was like, I guess when I think about like why a bookstore too is because Nashville needed another one. We're really lucky to have like some really, really great secondhand bookstores that do a lot of amazing work. We have a great independent bookstore on the east side. We also have a great independent bookstore on
Green Hills
considered the west. It's like the south.
Southwest
or southeast? I don't know. But there was just a draw. Like, DZ, how long have you lived here? Almost 10 years?
Over 10 years.
Over 10 years. Wow. I've been here for eight.
Like eight and a half.
Like eight and a half. And it was just like,
I wrote it down in my diary. Jordan moved to town today.
Oh.
No, I didn't. I don't have a diary.
And so
it's all up there.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, you know, there's a need. Someone told me that if a neighborhood can support a farmer's market, it can support one to two independent bookstores.
That's interesting.
And that was an interesting thing. And I was like, we could probably, Nashville's so big, we can probably do two farmers markets. You know, and I was like, we can probably, like, there's plenty of room for another shop that's very, very different. Just kind of like, why another bookstore?
Because why not?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Like, we recognized, like, some holes in the book community in Nashville and just in shops in general that we wanted to fill. I mean, we're both queer and we wanted to have, like, a safe space for that because it's, even if you can pass as not queer or whatever, like, it's still nice walking into a store and knowing, like, not only do I feel safe here, but, like, I know for a fact I'm safe here because this building is owned – or not building. We do not own the building. Yeah. This shop is owned by people who are like me, who will take care of people like me. It's really nice to be able to offer that. And then – we also just, you know, there are just, like, really little things, like how we noticed that there were, like, no colorful bookshops. Bookshops tend to all be white and wood and black and not
very
that there's—
mid-century minimal.
Yeah. And
kind
there's
of serious.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But we were just like, what if we just did, like, a full-on, like, we loved Lisa Frank. We still love Lisa Frank. I was going to say growing up, but Lisa Frank is always going to be the
idol.
Vibe. An icon. Yeah. And
business mogul.
And we were just we just wanted to create, like, a really colorful, fun space where you walk in and you don't think, like, oh, I got to be quiet and I got to, you know, reach for the serious books because people around me are really looking at what I'm reading. It's just like, grab whatever you want and be happy and have fun.
Yeah. And I think the success of that in your space has taken it from a place of here you can feel safe to here you can feel celebrated because it's like
I love that.
So blatant that that is the vibe that's being intonated.
Thank you.
So on like the foundation of the space itself, it's an old the whole building that you like occupy a part of
that
is
I
an
own
old church.
Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah, so it's an old church and we both have lived in East Nashville for I mean I have the whole time I've been here. DZ's lived here Nashville the whole time I've lived here, but for years like. I mean, first the church started off with.
I just want to say that building is coming up on its 100th birthday, I think, in like a year or two.
Wow.
So it's been there for a long time.
So it's been there for a minute. When I first moved here, it was empty. Then the grass kind of grew to like knee length. And I was like, okay, so that building's not in use. And then a chain link fence went around it. And I was like, okay, here we go. It's going to get knocked down. And some other thing will be there. And then it was kind of like a chain link fence around it for like 1 to 2 years. And then all of a sudden, the chain link fence came down and the grass got mowed. And then construction workers started showing up. And I don't know. We both kind of like, all right, I can't speak for you, actually. But like, I love old buildings. And so like being in something old like felt really fun. And especially like Nashville's not the greatest at historic preservation. Sorry.
Sure.
So it was cool to be in an old building that had some history. And it's also like, you know, to each their own on their religious spiritual journeys. But historically, the church hasn't really been that cool with gay folk. So it feels pretty cool.
It's nice to reclaim that space.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's so many people in the South who have, like, religious trauma. And, like, if we can, like, come and be like, hey, it's not that anymore. It's this community space. It's cool. Things can change. I really like that part of the
shop. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And to your point of East Nashville being able to support another independent bookstore, I haven't lived on that side of town.
Yeah.
It seems like East Nashville is maybe the only part of town that is in any way walkable.
Yeah.
So I imagine.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's Germantown too, I guess. Those are kind of like the only places that come to mind as having any kind of walkability. And some of East Nashville isn't all that walkable.
That's also true.
But we are definitely in a walkable area.
Right. And that's, I think, where I was heading was like the more neighborhood focused of this walkable region of this part of the city.
Yeah, that was a huge drive for us too, just to be kind of in this spot that is can create a hub between like the businesses near Cafe Rose, the businesses near Ugly Mugs, the shops on Porter. So this was like a spot where we saw it and we're like, wow, this could connect three neighbor like sub neighborhoods and you could actually go for like a loop walk in East Nashville and get a coffee shop, a donut store, a bookshop, potentially something else, you know. So it did that location really like stuck out to us for sure.
Nice. So back here and tracking a little bit to like making the business plan and things of that nature. I don't want to delve too deep into the weeds of that, but like is that something that y'all had previous experience in, or was there what kind of resources did you tap into to figure
Google.
That out? Lots of Google.
And then
asking for help from others.
Yeah. Nice. We joined the ABA, the American Booksellers Association, and they have a lot of great resources for booksellers, or we signed up as provisional members so that we were able to have the same access that booksellers have, but it's like for up to a year or something before you open your bookstore. So it's for people who are like seriously considering opening
a bookstore.
Curious. Yeah, exactly. And they have like a forum, so I would go and like research like people's most often asked questions there or ask some of my own. Honestly, Facebook groups have been good for it.
Sure.
We don't really use Facebook. Jordan doesn't have a Facebook, and I stopped using mine years ago. But the Facebook groups for like bookseller mentors or indie booksellers, it was really helpful. Mm. And then besides that, yes, absolutely Google.
Lots of mistakes.
Lots of mistakes. Having to ask for help on things that seemed so basic, we felt like, we're so sorry, we're this dumb, but please, like, signing up with, like, publishing houses and stuff. Was, yeah. I mean, this is the first time either of us have been booksellers and business owners,
sure.
So there was and there is still so much that we're always learning, and we definitely kind of feel like we were flying by the seat of our pants for a while, and still do sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, every day it's like, oh, shoot, I should have done that different, yeah. And then you learn, and you're like, okay.
You learn and you grow.
Totally.
And now we've made a business plan, and we've gotten a loan, and we've done all this stuff, and it's like, it's really interesting because pretty much anyone can do it. You just really need to have the drive to do it and the commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be okay with, like, failing a lot.
Mm. Asking for help. You cannot do it on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be like, is this how we do it? Like,
yeah.
We made friends, like, on Instagram with other bookstores who were, like, opening around the same time as we are. And so we'll, like, DM them and be like, dude, what?
Yeah.
And it's just learning at the same time as you're doing something, which is really hard.
Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah. And it was really, really hard the first year to just kind of be like, I'm not an expert. I don't know anything. There are people here, like customers who work in publishing who know more than me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just kind of being like having to like humble yourself and be like, I'm the new guy. I know nothing. I don't even like.
I don't even know how to read.
Yeah, but you know, the flip side is that we have learned a lot for sure. And I feel like we have like there'll always be something new that we don't know how to do. Mm. But for the most part, I'm like, OK, this is how we order now. This is how we do this. Mm. Like. But a lot of putting Band-Aids on stuff, for sure.
And hopefully it has been a rewarding process.
Yeah.
A little bit, I guess.
And I have to imagine that approaching it with a sort of genuineness or, like, excitement also opens you up to those other people, like, being more open to giving you these
absolutely,
kinds of resources.
Absolutely. Because most of those people were in our exact same position. I feel like the bookstores that we really linked up with were two other bookstores that both opened just a little bit ahead of us, or maybe the book and cover almost a year ahead of us. Because once you've been through it and you know how difficult it is, you want to help out. Like, I am still checking stuff all the time in, like, the bookseller Facebook groups I'm in, and sometimes I'll see someone ask a question. I saw someone the other day who was panicking because they have to push back their opening date, which is something we had to do because of, like, fire, like building permit stuff that was just totally out of our control. So I left a long comment being like, you got this, don't worry. And it's just, you know, when you've been there and you know how difficult it is, you want to help. So we were really lucky that the people we reached out to wanted to help us. But I think most of the time, the people who choose to open bookstores and become booksellers also want to pay it forward, so to speak.
Yeah, it's not
like we get to help people too, and that's nice.
Yeah, it's like nice to help. It's not an industry where like, you're reinventing the wheel and you have to be like, we're hiding how we run a bookstore from everyone else. Like, there's no magic recipe that we're doing. So it's like, why not help?
Yeah.
It's a weird and it's kind of like a, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like a small community where we're all have like the same struggles, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's no point. I mean, I guess it's like different though, if you were going to say like, come up to me and be like, hey, tomorrow I want to open up a bookstore next to your shop. Will you give me advice? I might be like,
that would be a little frustrating.
I might be like, you might want to go across town or, you know, something like that. But for the most part, it's like, we wouldn't be here without people giving us free advice.
Yeah. Oh, and actually, so you mentioned trying to fill a specific niche within Nashville bookstores. Mm. And it's just occurred to me, since neither of y'all are originally from here, are there bookstores where you're from that you're trying to, like, capture any of what they did for you? Was there a lack of them that you're trying to make up for?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up at the library. We were poor. Yeah. We did not buy books. So I was, like, a library kid. And it's so funny. I think I went to like a Barnes & Noble a few times in my hometown, but like for the most part, like library was where it was at. And then after some time away from home, I lived in Portland, Oregon. Mm. And Powell's is huge. Obviously, everyone knows City of Block of Books. And I loved that kind of like right in the middle of town kind of feel. It's like right in the middle of downtown. Mm-hmm. Like, and Portland downtown is like actually very centered and you can kind of get from all points. When I first like started dreaming, originally I was like, oh, it would be so amazing to get like a 3-floor building on 2nd Street and have this like amazing downtown bookstore that's like 50 floor, like whatever.
50 floors.
You know, whatever. Like, really
all
big.
All manga.
like, all...
My dream.
Yeah. I wanted to make DZ's dreams come true. So it wasn't like that, but there was, like, a stuffiness that we didn't really want.
Yeah.
There's, like, kind of the rule that, like, you go in a bookstore and you have to, like, be quiet. And, right. kind of, and it's like, we don't really feel that way. Yeah. We both talk a lot. I don't know. There's not that many places to meet people, like, these days, I kind of feel like, that aren't bars or that kind of thing. And it's like... I don't know. We just wanted to create a spot that was like also a hangout.
Yeah.
In a way, like obviously we don't want people there.
After dark.
Yeah. We don't obviously don't want people like camping out.
Right.
Like,
there's not
out.
A couch.
Yeah. There's not a couch for a reason. but yeah, it was just like, this should be fun. Like, you should be able to like talk to someone or, you know, chit chat. And it just seemed like we just wanted to create like more of a fun space for adults.
Yeah.
Kids obviously welcome and they come, but like there's a lot of seriousness to being an adult that we're like.
Yeah, we are big believers in
being kids forever.
Taking care of our inner child to the next level.
Yeah.
Adult joy needs to be cultivated.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, so many people don't realize how important it is to have hobbies and do fun things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't have to be booze and drugs.
Yeah.
On the space itself, obviously, for anyone listening, if you haven't already, I strongly encourage heading to novelettebooksellers.com or their Instagram to get a look at what we're talking about in terms of the space itself. But, like, there's some pretty phenomenal murals and a lot of bright colors. Did you give any – if you want to shout out to the people who did some of that design, but were there any specific notes that you gave them?
Yeah. So shout out to Kayla Fritz who – Yeah.
Goes by Good Snake.
Good Snake. And then sometimes a Stray Doggy now. They're getting into tattoo, and I think that's their tattoo account. But basically, we knew we wanted some murals. We wanted some big, colorful stuff, and we kind of asked around some friends, and a few people were like, you got to ask Kayla. Hmm. But she had us make, like, mood boards for
it. Yeah, we used Pinterest.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah, and, like, I mean— a lot of the stuff just started off with, like, free drawings.
Mm.
Like, after the name got figured out, like, just sketching a little bit, and we got this image of the sunglasses, the heart-shaped sunglasses, and that was just, like, from doodling.
Yeah.
So it was very much just, like, we designed it in a sense with Kayla, but it kind of just kind of came together as we went. Like, we would paint the shelves and be like, okay, what next? Like, do we want the tables to be this color, or should we do it this color?
Mm.
And so— we more of, like, had some, like, I feel like keywords, like fun, vibey, goofy, chill. Like, you know, we kind of just went off of those. And, like, we also have to be in the space for, like, 10 hours at a time.
We need to want to look at it.
Yeah. So I'm like, I got to be in here for 10 hours a day sometimes. Yeah. I want it to feel cozy. Yeah. I want it to feel cute.
We knew there were, like, some images that we wanted. Like, behind the desk, we've got this cool mural that's just, like, a blue, trippy checkerboard. Mm-hmm. Like, we really wanted a wall like that in the shop, and we really wanted a dragon mural for, like, the fantasy sci-fi lovers. And but, yeah, it was really fun. I mean, we still work with Kayla. She's drawing some new stuff for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, right this very second.
Yeah.
But it was really fun working with her because we got to create the vision boards, which we just, like, went wild. And we were like, lava lamps, Lisa Frank, smiley faces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it kept coming back to just bright, colorful, fun.
Yeah, like kind of psychedelic in a way.
And she's a true joy. So shout out to Kayla. Mm-hmm. Everyone should work with Good Snake.
Mm-hmm. She's cool.
And that makes a lot of sense that you would approach it from a standpoint of, like, we are going to see this space more than anyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
which is why we're installing flat screen TVs and they're always playing Family Guy.
Yeah.
But that philosophy of, like, what do I want also segues very nicely into the idea that you're trying to make the bookstore that you would want because there are people like you, right? Yeah. You're not unique in your desires for these things, so
how
it's going
you.
To.
Yeah, I know. We would both love to suffer from terminal uniqueness, but we're not.
But that will attract the kind of people
for
that
sure.
it should attract.
Exactly. Like, yeah, if you want to go into, like, a bookstore that is, like, wood walls and velvet and you can't talk and, like, that's chill. You want to read, like, Dostoevsky and, like, be very serious? I love it. We, on the other hand, and are just like, there's a time and a place. And, like, you know, people will be like, you don't have, like, every single classic in here. And it's like, we can't, like, some books don't even fit the vibe of the shop.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like, we have some classics for sure. And they're ones that we think kind of, like, go with, like, we only have so much space, so we can't put every single thing. But we're like, I don't know, Pride and Prejudice is funny and cute. It belongs, you know? Yeah. So it's like,
you must pass vibe check.
Exactly.
Pretty
much. Yeah. So, us being there and the people that we want to be there, well, we want everyone there, but you know what I mean? It's like, it reflects the community of where we are. Like, I don't think we would ever do what we're doing and be like, let's go open up in Bellmead. And I think they're going to love this. And maybe a few. And we probably have customers that come out from Bellmead, and that's awesome. But
shout out to Bellmead.
Yeah, but for the most part, like, maybe we're not. Like, maybe we're too over the top. Maybe we're this, but, like.
Oh, yeah. We definitely know we're not going to be everyone's bookstore of choice. And we're very much at peace with that. Because I think, like we've been saying, it's so important to us that it is the bookstore we want, and we want it to be. So,
Well, on the topic of curation, backing up from, like, how that affects the store, like, what realms are, like, your specialties, your tastes?
Ooh. Fantasy.
Sure.
We both love, like, regular, like, literary and contemporary fiction. So we both, I mean, we collaborate on every section in the store together. Like, neither of us is, like, the only person who buys the books for whatever section. But I think, like, Jordan definitely takes a little bit of the lead with, like, the nonfiction section. And I think I take a little bit of the lead with the fantasy stuff. I mean, honestly, most of it's split pretty evenly, though. We're always looking for – we have different tastes in reading. I mean, we have plenty of overlap, too. But we're always looking for books that appeal to us because we want our store to – we want to be able to heartily recommend – the books in our store and not just be like, yeah, we thought that would be popular, so we had to order it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty split.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, now it's taken like a year for us to kind of like figure out what is selling and what doesn't. And like, we do have to adjust and like cater to our client base. And like, we had some sections that like we really loved and like we read out of, and then, you know, like people weren't buying them. And unfortunately, like, we are participating in capitalism beyond our will. And so
maybe one day it won't have to feel that way so much. But we're still such a new business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't have stuff sit on the shelf for like 6 months and not sell. It's just not a good business model.
Nope.
So, you know, there's some stuff where we're like, dang, I really like these, and I thought that they would sell, and they don't, and you replace it, and you figure it out. But it is interesting to kind of see what is working, or like what's in demand and what's not in demand. But we do that, and then like we also curate based on like people who have values. Like, we're never going to carry anything that's like homophobic, racist, sexist, et cetera. And we do that same with like our ordering policy. We're happy to order anything. You know, and also with curating, it's also inclusive. Like, how inclusive are we being? Like, right now on the table are, do we only have, like, white lady writers? Or, like, what
we
do
we? We are always keeping ourselves in check, making sure that we're not just, you know, forgetting some part of the community that is probably being forgotten about in other communities.
Yeah, and, like, I'll say, like, an example that I can think of is, like, I thought we were doing a pretty good job being inclusive, and then someone came in and was like, I can't find any romances that have polyamory or fantasy. And I was like, okay, new thing unlocked. We got to get some poly rep. People are polyamorous. Like, but you're like, okay, I thought I had all the everything covered, you know? And like, we'll grow and change as like the environment changes.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah. And always making sure that someone is not forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah. And to a certain degree, you then have to like figure out, is anyone publishing that?
Because like,
you're at the whims a little bit of like what
trends
even gets put into print.
Not just to say trends, but it's like,
it is kind of gross.
Yeah, but it's like, like first it was like straight romances were all, and then it was like, oh, okay, we can do a gay one, you know, and then it was like, okay, we can do gay interracial, you know, like really go to like stuff that's not the typical straight white stuff. So it's like now like people are exploring polyamory and we should cater to that. Like we support people's life decisions. Like, sure, we'll get some books that got some poly couples in it. We'll do it for you.
Poly couples?
Polycules.
Poly couples? Thank you.
Polycules.
Polycules.
Yeah.
Now, I enjoyed, I think it was on y'all's Instagram yesterday, you posted what the bestsellers were for the previous week or so. Yeah, it's like, wow, y'all came out for men writers last week, huh?
yeah.
It was just interesting. I mean, I'm the one who, like, downloads our, like, sales report of the past week so that we can report our sales to, like, the New York Times and the American Booksellers Association and stuff. And that kind of ends up helping us, too, in the long run. But it is really interesting to look every single week and see, like, okay, what were our best sellers and what did we not sell as much of as we thought we would? And usually it's, like, such a mixed bag, but I feel like last week was the first time that I was like, it's all books by men, which nothing wrong with, obviously. Yeah. I mean, there are so many great male writers. Just it was, like, a little funny to me for some reason. Sure. So just wanted to poke a little fun at it. Keep men on their toes.
Brief shop talk, because when y'all mentioned the nonfiction section, novelette, because of what I mostly do here at the library when I'm not talking to lovely people and into a microphone, is a lot of shelving. And my mind was just like the Matrix, but of Dewey Decimal numbers.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't looked at y'all's nonfiction section in a while. How do you break it up?
Dude.
Because nonfiction, like,
I think
the Dewey Decimal system is not perfect, but I'm very grateful for it because it's order.
Mm. We've definitely reorganized the nonfiction section more than any other spot in the store just because we're always combining sections, getting rid of sections, just shuffling stuff around. And I feel like as much as we would like to say this is its final form, it's definitely not. So we have, I don't know, we have our gender and sexuality section, social justice, memoirs, essays. We have a section that's called, like, space/nature that's just kind of anything that doesn't fall under the other things that maybe have to do with nature, people, space, time, philosophy. Mm-hmm. What am I forgetting? We've got our drug section.
Yeah.
Because we're so cool.
It was really hard to organize.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really hard to order for because you have to kind of think, do I, like, what sections within nonfiction am I including? Like, where can we shelve this?
Yeah.
Shelving them was a nightmare, but also I liked it because I like organizing stuff. Yeah,
a fun nightmare.
But it was like, no, this isn't right. No, this isn't right. No, this isn't right. And it still doesn't feel right, but we're just going to keep going.
Yeah. We're always thinking of different ways to reorganize stuff in the shop. So it's definitely going to continue looking different.
Yeah.
Book collections are like anything else. If it's alive, it must be changing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
I remember like when I was first served y'all's thing on Instagram of like, hey, we're opening, you know, in X window of time. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was at the time. This probably would have been late 2020, I guess. Or
I don't even know.
2021? Who knows?
2021, maybe?
Probably 2021.
Yeah. I remember the thing that made me go, ooh, was y'all specifically called out a focus on graphic novels.
Oh, yeah.
Which I went, ooh, yes. This is for me.
You know, for a while on the East Side, there was Brain Freeze Comics that took up some nice space in Gift Horse for a while, and I loved Brain Freeze Comics. And then Stuart, who owned it, went back to grad school out of state, and it just kind of disappeared. And, you know, there are a couple comic shops around Nashville, but East Nashville was really lacking graphic novels and comic books. And I love graphic novels. I say to Jordan all the time that I'm just like, well, I should have just opened like a little closet of a store that's just comic books, because who doesn't like to look at pictures? But I wish we could have more space for our graphic novels in the store.
Just everything.
Yeah, I wish we had more space in general. We're definitely very proud of our curation, and I love anytime anyone buys graphic novels with us.
Me.
Yeah.
Like me.
And what's amazing is that kids go crazy for graphic novels these days. Like when I was a kid and I was reading comics, I was like kind of a weird one. And now it's just kids come in. We sell so many more kids graphic novels than any other kind of kid book. Mm-hmm. Like middle reader, they're like, well, no, I just want to look at pictures. And who can blame them? So
yeah. And that's certainly something I felt as well. And now like shelving kids' books 4 or 5 days a week, it's a lot of comics. And it's really cool because of how good a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Like I read some of them because like if I'm interested in the state of comics and graphic novels, mm-hmm. and that's the realm that is exploding. Mm. That's where it's, a lot of the good stuff is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I do – there is sometimes a sentiment that, like, you should read, quote, real books.
Mm.
And, like, it's just a different – it's a literally a different part of your brain.
Yes.
I shouldn't say literally. Clarification, I'm not a neuroscientist. But it's certainly a different function of reading.
Yeah.
Rather than just, like, prose.
You know,
I was talking to a librarian friend the other day. She had been borrowing my copy of Cosmonauts Volume 2. And,
nice.
And she'd had it for a while and just couldn't get herself to read it because she loved Volume 1, mm-hmm. but she reads a lot of prose.
Mm.
And she has to, like, be in a comic book brain.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a different type of reading,
yeah.
where I'm the exact opposite. I will go through a pile of comics before I can finish my one fantasy book club book that is on the table with me now.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting because it really is a different part of your brain. And we have regulars who come in, like adults, who will come in and just make a beeline for the graphic novel section because they have ADHD or some kind of neurodivergency that makes it harder for them to focus on reading just like print books, just prose, and just being able to look at pictures and kind of like it's like the visual guide of where your eyes are supposed to go. I think that really helps.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people who come in and they ask for graphic novel adaptations of classics because they want to know what the classics are about, but they're trying to be realistic with themselves, being like, I don't think I could get through a classic because my attention will be all over the place and I'll just put the book down. So it's really cool that there are so many graphic novels right now and just opportunities for people who enjoy books of all kinds and people whose brains function however they function. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Comic books are the best.
Yeah. This may not be something y'all know about, but that did make me wonder. I wonder what kind of initiatives are happening at major publishing houses to choose, like, in prose books, how can we use different fonts, different spacing, and things that would cater more toward neurodivergency or dyslexia, because I know there are certain fonts that are like kinder to dyslexic brains.
Yeah, there's like the Open Dyslexic font, which we had someone like ask us maybe almost a year ago if we had any books in dyslexia-friendly fonts, and I searched high and low and could not figure out a way for us to order them, which was so frustrating because I can only imagine how frustrating it is to be like, I want to read, but I have dyslexia. I mean, I just really hope that the future of books is a little bit more inclusive to all sorts of different types of readers. I think it's slowly getting there,
sure.
You know? Yeah.
I imagine some e-readers where you can change the font, you might be able to
do that. Probably. Yeah.
Not relevant to our conversation. We've mentioned your socials a few times. It's just Instagram, yeah?
Well, we have a TikTok, too.
Oh, yeah?
That was too many T's. Oh, my
TikTok
God.
TikTok,
so many. We have a TikTok, and I feel like when we were first open, I was, like, trying to post on it semi-regularly, and then we just fell off it because we really were focusing on our Instagram game. Mm. But we're going to get back into TikTok soon. We've got some ideas, and we're going to try and make it a more regular thing. Because I'm basically chasing the high of the one time we went viral on TikTok.
Which one was that?
There was a video I made that was like, here, I'm going to give you a tour of Novelette. And I just opened the door and I go, well, there it is. Bye. And it's like the shortest video of all time. And for some reason, people liked it and it got like 50,000 views. So I was just like, okay, people like nonsense. I like nonsense. So we're going to give them some nonsense. But I mean, as you see on our Instagram, we like giving nonsense all the time.
Sure. So how do you find the importance of social media as like a relatively young business? Certainly I was following y'all's Instagram from like the many months before y'all even launched.
Thank you so much, by the way.
Was that presence on social media leading up to the launch helpful for groundswell?
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's all about creating interest and you have to kind of think about it. Even if you're reaching out to publications or different forms of media to get some sort of attention. Like when we were first opening, I created like a press release and sent it out to a bunch of different, you know, magazines, newspapers, whatever in the area, just being like, think about us, do a thing on us, we're opening, we're cool, this is why we're different.
Hmm.
But Instagram is a place that I'm like, we all have it in common, but pretty much, honestly. And, you know, being a new business, we were like, this is where we can kind of showcase our personalities a little bit before anyone has to even set foot inside the store. So
leading up to our opening, it was a really good way of letting people feel like they were in on the experience of our setting up or knowing a little bit more about us. Because I'm trying to think of how to say this less nerdy, but I can't. So I'll say, when you feel like you have an understanding of a shop's lore going into the shop, it feels cool. It feels like you're part of the community already. Yeah. So we kind of wanted to cultivate that from the start. And then, yeah, now, I mean, we get people all the time who will come in and say that they discovered us because they saw some post about us on TikTok or Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's been really great. I mean, it's sent a lot of people our way. So
I think the identity of the store, like, vibe-wise and visually, has first of all been, you know, to use a, like, weird businessy word that I shouldn't, synergistic, shall we say.
We love synergy.
It certainly serves, like, what y'all seem to be going for, and also be very, very eye-catching.
Thank you.
is when I, like, Googled Novelette to, like, make sure I was going to get your URL right to mention it. One of the first autofills is, like, Novelette images. So, like, people, So, like, theoretically, people looking for the murals.
Well. Oh, I love that.
That's new to me. Yeah. Very cool. That's cute. Yeah.
I must assume that's about y'all. And for the sake of this podcast, I will assume that's about y'all.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, too, like, we thought about stuff in the shop being, like, good
Instagram
for social.
Yeah,
sure. It sucks. You have to think about that. But I was like, dude, if we have a few murals, people freak out for that. And they're fun.
And they're
like
really
it.
Fun. It's nice to have, like, designated photo op areas, too.
Yeah. It's a no-lose scenario when you have cool art that suits your store that will get people in.
Exactly. Yeah. We definitely, you know, get a crowd with that. And, I mean, we don't get, like, the people who are lining up outside of it. Yeah. Like, we don't get a wait like that. But we definitely get people who are like, oh, I just wanted, you know, I'm excited to see it kind of thing.
Yeah. We get people in from out of town who are like, you know, I was coming here for XYZ, but I knew I had to come to Novelette when I came into town. And that is always
incredible
to hear. Yeah. We would love to be a destination bookstore for sure.
That's how I travel, is like bookstores are like a main focus on the itinerary. Yeah. So I wanted that for when people are like, you went to Nashville. Did you go to Novelette?
Yeah.
That's the vibe. So, and it, you know, just because, like, we love what we do, but also, like, we don't want to fail. Like, owning a business is...
Speak for yourself. I love failing.
You know, and it's like, a bookstore is one of those, like, things where people are like, are you sure? Everything's cheaper on Amazon, you know, and kind of thing. And you get talked out of it, but, like, book sales are up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have been for years.
And they have been, yeah. And, like, people are digging it and people are disconnecting a little bit more from technology and keeping it simple. And we just want to stay, you know, like, we just want this to keep going so that we can, like, keep having fun and, like, keep growing. And already in the last year, like, we already have new stuff that's, like, happening in the shop that we're just excited. We just want to see what can happen.
Yeah.
So as long as, like, Instagram is kind of terrible in a lot of ways. So we try to just make a little spot on it where it's not terrible. We don't get people fighting in the comments.
Yeah.
No. DZ, maybe sometime. Just kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
I'm like, I fought with someone one time.
That's actually something I was wondering about, because it's part of the vibe on the Instagram is that it's kind of an open dialogue to some degree.
Yeah.
Or I guess you are controlling the space but leaving it open for dialogue. I remember a specific day where you were musing on whether to open or not, on, like, whether it was maybe inclement weather. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And then everyone apparently started DMing you, like, DZ, go home.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, we're just like, we don't know what we should do. We don't know what people want from us. And we'll just go to the Instagram stories, put up a dumb little picture of our face and be like, I don't know, what should we do?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do remember what you're talking about, because it was hilarious, the onslaught of DMs I had just being like, what are you thinking? Go home. You deserve rest too, which is so nice to hear from people as a business, you know, because a lot of people think that you should just be on all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's really refreshing that we have this community that is very supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Discord.
Yeah.
And the Discord.
Oh, yeah.
The Discord's fun. Oh, nice.
I'm just like, more
I'm the Discord president, so.
You are.
I am. I created the Discord because, you know.
Someone's beautiful idea.
Well, we just need all nerdy ways for people to, you know.
Chill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Discord, so why not?
So one other thing I was curious about as far as its importance to the store is you've put a decent focus on having events and, like, how important that is. I was wondering how important that is to especially an independent neighborhood focused bookstore.
Yeah.
Well, people are always like, I want something to do. I don't know what to go do. Like, we already did this. We already did this. And it's like, why don't we just have more fun? Like, like we had a big birthday party. We have author events.
We did speed friending.
Yeah, just
we're about to do a writer's round.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like there's a lot of opportunities to do stuff that is just like community focused, and like books are the point between us all that we're like, okay, this group here, all we all like books. We're all here for that. But
we all like books.
Yeah. But we're also trying to like meet new people or try something different and like, I don't know, just create more stuff to do. You know, like, there's a lot to do in the world, yada, yada. But, like, when you get to our age, like, I'm mid-30s
so
now.
So old.
It's just, like, if you don't have kids, like, and you don't drink.
Yeah.
A lot of people leave you out of stuff. And so we're, like, we are going to create our own things to do.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I want to go to a writer's circle. I'll make it. Like, I want to do this. No one else is doing it. We'll do it. You know? So it's, like, really what I hope people will start to do in their communities is see a need for something and do it.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it. And I think we're just like, whatever, we'll do it. It's not necessarily like a thing that we're selling books at, but like we want to help people write more or like be creative more. And like we have a space, we'll use it.
Yeah. I was just going to say it's really nice to watch friendships get made too.
Yeah.
Like we know
several people who are friends now just because of the shop.
And it's so, I mean, it's not hard for some of us to make friends. Just kidding. But we know it's hard to make friends sometimes as an adult. And yeah, what Jordan said about it being like books just kind of being like the interest point that you can kind of go from there. It's really nice to bring people together and be like, you're not so weird. You're not so different. You can meet like-minded people. You don't have to get drunk on Broadway. Well, you do, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like there's, you know, we started off talking about how theoretically this is a podcast about creativity in all its forms. And despite some early protest, I think it's important to note that there's a lot of this kind of cruft and like thought and mechanics behind anything that is actually also a creative process.
Yeah.
And like a creative brain will help solve those issues as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Hope that has encouraged y'all as to the creativity of your pursuit.
You're the most creative person I've ever met.
No. I mean, problem solving is creative, and I, you know, the shop has a lot of problem solving.
Yeah.
A lot of on-the-fly thinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess maybe there's more creativity there than I think.
Yeah. As I told my therapist recently, there is a difference between making art and living artfully.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, something that, like, readers really love in general is, like, there's a lot of stuff that's been created. Someone's got to digest it.
True.
So if people aren't reading, people can't make books. So I'm like, I'm helping creatives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all I had to talk about in particular. Do y'all want to shout anything out? Upcoming events? Go check out NoveletteBooksellers.com.
Yeah.
Novelette on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, and come to the shop if you live in Nashville. We're on Chapel Lane. We're in the little church.
Chapel Ave.
Sorry. We're in Suite 108. We have a web store that you can order from. Hopefully, you know, in like the next few months, we'll be launching some other fun stuff. But we've got like a writer's round starting on Sunday. Super nervous for, really excited for at the same time. We've got more book clubs always going on. Yeah, just follow us and you'll see.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Thank you all for listening. And as a reminder, get a library card. There's a lot you can do here at the library, including listen to this lovely podcast that we made. Thank you so much.